Good evening. This is Peter Tobin introducing Lux Radio Theater. Tonight and every Monday night at this time, Lux Radio Theater presents for your entertainment the finest in radio drama. This week we bring you Brief Encounter by Noel Coward, a radio adaptation of his stage play, Still Life. It is the poignant love story of two people, both married, who meet by accident. While waiting on a station platform, Laura Jessen gets some grit in her eye from a passing train, and Alec Harvey, a doctor, takes it out for her. They meet and part as strangers, but they meet again several times and decide to enjoy the love which has sprung up between them, even if its flowering is brief. Listen in a few moments to Valerie Miller and Michael Atkinson in Brief Encounter, produced for Lux Radio Theatre by Anne Freed and directed by Henry Diffenthal. And now, Act One of tonight's Lux Radio Theatre presentation, Brief Encounter.
It's a 5:35. Hurry up, Biddle. Go and clean up table number 3. I can see the crumbs on it from here.
Them rock cakes.
Never you mind about the rock cakes. I like my tables as clean, and you can wipe down this counter too.
I don't have many people now. Who wants to come into a station refreshment room at this time of day?
There's always someone wants a cup of tea. Now you just do as you're told and don't argue.
Yes, Mrs. Baggett.
Oh, well, no.
Oh, quite a stranger, aren't you?
I couldn't get in yesterday.
I wondered what had happened to you.
I had a bit of a dust-up.
What about?
Saw a chap getting out of a first-class compartment, and when he comes to give his ticket up, it were a third-class one. So I told him he'd have to pay excess, and he turned a bit nasty. Had to send for Mr. Saunders.
Huh, fat lot of good he'd be.
Oh, well, he is the station master. Ooh, he ticked him off proper.
Seeing, believing. Well, here's your tea.
Oh, ta. Oh, I tell you, he ticked him off right proper. You pay the balance at once, he says, or I'll hand you over to the police. Not a bad lot, you know, Mr. Saunders. After all, you can't be much of a spirit for a man, you know, if you've only got one lung and a wife with diabetes.
Well, I thought something must be wrong when he didn't come.
I'd have come in to explain, but I had a date and I had to run for it the minute I went off.
Oh, indeed.
Ah, a chap I know is getting married.
Very interesting, I'm sure.
You're a bit unfriendly all of a sudden, Mrs. Baggett.
I'm afraid I can't stand here wasting my time in idle gossip, Mr. Godby.
Oh, aren't you going to offer me another cup, then?
You can have another cup and welcome when you finish that one. Biddle will give it to you. I've got my accounts to do. Time and paid wait for no man, Mr. Godby.
A cup of tea, please.
Oh, certainly. Cake or pastry?
No, thank you.
There'll be ninepence.
Oh, thank you.
You can have it here at the counter or at one of the tables.
Yes, thanks. I'll go and sit at the table. What's the matter with you today, Mrs. Baggett? What are you woofy about?
You misunderstand me, Mr. Godby.
What about me or the cup? Oh, I shall have to be moving. That's the boat train. The 5:53 will be here in a minute.
Who's on today?
Young William.
You're neglecting your duty, you know. That's what you're doing.
No, I'm in relaxing for a few minutes.
Oh, please, could you give me a glass of water? I've got something in my eye and I want to bathe it.
Would you like me to look?
No. Please don't trouble. I think the water will do it.
Yeah.
Thanks very much.
Oh, it's a bit of coldest, I expect.
Mm. A man I know lost the state of 1A through getting a bit of grit in it.
Oh, it's a painful thing, is this? It's very painful.
Better?
No, I'm afraid not.
Oh!
Can I help you?
No, please. It's only something in my eye.
Try putting down your eyelid as far as it'll go.
And then blowing your nose.
Let me look. I happen to be a doctor.
Oh, well, that's very kind of you.
Turn round to the light, will you, please?
Yes.
Now, look up. Now down. Yes, I can see it.
Mm-hmm.
Keep still. I'll take it out of my handkerchief. Like there.
Oh, dear. Oh, Oh, what a relief. It was agonizing.
Looked like a bit of grit.
It was when the express went through. Thank you very much indeed.
Not at all.
There we go. I've got to run.
How lucky for me that you happened to be here.
Oh, anybody could have done it.
Oh, never mind. You did, and I'm most grateful. Oh, there's my train. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
So I said to him, Beryl, I said, it's all very vain expecting me to do this, that, and the other. But what do I get out of it? You can't expect me to be cook, housekeeper, and a char rolled into one during the day and a loving wife in the evening just because you feel like it.
Did you, Mrs. Baggett? Did you really say that?
Certainly I did. There is just as good fish in the sea, I said, as ever came out of it. And I packed my boxes there and then and left him.
Just fancy. And, oh, here comes a customer. Oh, it's that lady who got the grit in her eye last week. Pretty, isn't she?
Well, if you like the quiet kind. Expensive clothes and not very smart.
Oh, I think they're lovely.
May I have a cup of tea, please?
Certainly. That'll be ninepence. Beryl, take the tea to the table for the lady.
Oh, that's quite all right. Thank you. I can manage.
And didn't you ever go back to him, Mrs. Baggett?
Never.
What happened to him?
Dead as a doornail inside 3 years.
Well, I never.
A cup of tea, please.
Yes, sir. Anything else? A piece of cake?
No, thank you. It's 9 months, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Are you alone?
Yes, I am.
Would you mind very much if I shared your table?
No, of course not. I'll just move these parcels. Oh.
I'm afraid we haven't been properly introduced. My name's Alec Harvey.
How do you do? Mine's Laura Jessam.
Mrs. or Miss?
Mrs. You're a doctor, aren't you? I remember you said you were when you took the grit out of my eye last week.
Yes, I have a practice in Chirley.
Oh. Do you come here every Thursday?
Yes, to spend a day in the hospital. Stephen Lynn, he's the chief physician there, graduated with me. I take over from him once a week, and it gives him a chance to go up to London. Me a chance to study the hospital patients.
I see.
Do you?
Do I what?
Do you come here every Thursday?
Oh, yes, I do the week's shopping, change my library books, have a little lunch, and generally go to the pictures. Not a very exciting routine, really, but it makes a change.
Well, that's my train. I'll have to hurry. Goodbye, Mrs. Jetton. It was nice seeing you again.
Goodbye, Dr. Harvey.
Minnie hasn't touched her milk, Mrs. Baggett.
Did you put it down for her?
Yes, but she never came in for it.
Oh, I don't think you should encourage it, Beryl. A refreshment room's no place for a cat. Besides,
tea or lemonade?
Oh, tea. I think it's more refreshing, really. Oh, shall we sit here?
Yes. I'll get the tea. Two teas, please.
Cakes or pastry?
Would you like cake or pastry?
No, thank you.
Are those bath buns fresh?
Oh, certainly they are. Made this morning.
Two, please.
That'll be half a crown.
Yeah.
Take the tea to the table, Beryl.
I'll carry the buns. Here are. Now, you must eat one of these, Laura. Fresh this morning.
Very fattening.
Oh, I don't hold with such foolishness.
I'm going to the back room to look over my accounts, Beryl. Let me know when Albert comes in.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Baggett.
The buns do look good, I must say.
One of my earliest passions. I've never outgrown it.
You do take milk in your tea?
Yes. Don't you?
Yes, fortunately.
Patient refreshments are generally a wee bit arbitrary, aren't they?
I wasn't grumbling.
Do you ever grumble? Are you ever sullen and cross? Bad-tempered?
Oh, of course I am. Well, he's not sullen exactly, but I sometimes get into rages.
I can't visualize you in a rage.
I really don't see why you should.
Oh, I don't know. There are signs, you know. One can usually tell.
Do you feel guilty at all? Mm-hmm. I do.
Guilty?
You ought to more than me, really. You neglected your work this afternoon.
I worked this morning. A little relaxation never did anyone any harm. Why should either of us feel guilty?
I don't know. A sort of instinct. As though we were letting something happen that
oughtn't to happen.
How awfully nice you are.
When I was a child in Cornwall, lived in Cornwall, you know, May, that's my sister and I, used to climb out of our bedroom window on summer nights and go down to the cove and bathe. It was dreadfully cold, but we felt very adventurous. I'd never have dared to do it by myself, but sharing the danger made it all right. That's how I feel now, really.
Have a bun. It's awfully bad for you.
Oh, Alec, you're laughing at me.
Yes, a little. Oh, but I'm laughing at myself, too.
Why?
For feeling a small pang when you said about being guilty.
There you are, you see.
We haven't done anything wrong.
Of course we haven't.
An accidental meeting, then another accidental meeting, then a little lunch, then the cinema. What could be more ordinary, more natural?
We're adults, after all.
I never see myself as an adult, do you?
Yes, I do. I'm a respectable married woman with a husband and a home and three children.
But there must be a part of you, deep down inside, that doesn't feel like that at all. Some little spirit that still wants to climb out of the window, but still longs to splash about a bit in the dangerous sea.
Perhaps none of us ever grows up entirely.
How awfully nice you are.
You said that before.
I thought perhaps you hadn't heard.
Oh, I heard all right.
I'm respectable too, you know. I have a home, a wife, children, and responsibilities. I also have a lot of work to do. And a lot of ideals all mixed up with it.
What's she like?
Madeline?
Yes.
Small, dark,
rather
delicate.
Funny, I should have thought you'd be fair.
And your husband, what's he like?
Medium height, brown hair, kindly, unemotional, and not delicate at all.
You said that proudly.
Oh, did I?
What's the matter?
The matter? What could be the matter?
You suddenly went away.
I thought perhaps we were being rather silly.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. We're such complete strangers, really.
It's one thing to close a window, but quite another to slam it down on my finger.
I'm sorry.
Please, come back again.
Is tea bad for one, worse than coffee, I mean?
If this is a professional interview, my fee is a guinea.
Oh. It's nearly time for your train.
Oh, I hate to think of it. Chugging along, interrupting our tea party.
I really am sorry now.
What for?
For being disagreeable.
I don't think you could be disagreeable.
You said something just now about your work and ideals being mixed up with it. What ideals?
Oh, that's a long story.
I suppose all doctors ought to have ideals, really. Otherwise, I should think the work would be unbearable.
Oh, surely you're not encouraging me to talk shop.
Well, why not? That's what you're most interested in, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Or rather, my special pigeon is.
Oh, what's that?
Preventative medicine.
Oh, I see.
I'm afraid you don't.
I was trying to be intelligent.
Most good doctors, especially when they're young, have private dreams. That's the best part of them sometimes. Though those get over-professionalized and strangulated. And am I boring you?
Oh, no. I don't quite understand, but you're not boring me.
What I mean is this. All good doctors must be primarily enthusiasts. They must have a sense of vocation, a deep-rooted, unsentimental desire to do good.
Oh, yes, I see that.
Well, obviously, one way of preventing disease is worth 50 ways of curing it. That's where my ideal comes in. Preventative medicine isn't anything to do with medicine at all, really. It's concerned with living conditions and common sense and hygiene.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, my speciality is pneumoconiosis.
Oh, dear.
Don't be alarmed. It's simpler than it sounds. It's nothing but a slow process of fibrositis of the lung due to the inhalation of particles of dust. Now, in the hospital here, there are splendid opportunities of observing cures and making notes because of the coal mine.
You suddenly look younger.
Do I?
Almost like a little boy.
What made you say that?
I don't know. Yes, I do. No, I couldn't, really. You were saying about the coal mines.
Yes. The inhalation of coal dust. That's one of the specific forms of the disease. It's called ancerocosis.
What are the others?
Chalicosis. That comes from metal dust. Steelworks, you know.
Yes, of course. Steelworks.
And silicosis. Stone dust. That's gold mines.
I see. There's your train.
Yes.
You mustn't miss it.
No.
What's the matter?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
It's been so very nice. I've enjoyed my afternoon enormously.
I'm so glad. So have I. I apologize for boring you by talking about my work.
I feel dull and stupid not to be able to understand more.
Shall I see you again?
It's the other platform, isn't it? You'll have to run. Don't worry about me. My train's due in a few minutes.
Shall I see you again?
Yes, of course. Perhaps you could come over to catch us one Sunday. It's rather far, I know, but we should be delighted to see you.
Please. Please.
What is it?
Next Thursday. The same time.
No, I can't possibly.
Laura, please. I ask you most humbly.
You miss your train.
All right.
Run.
Goodbye.
I'll be there.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, my dear Laura. Thank you.
There's a carton of ginger nuts under the counter, Beryl. Please pass me a few packets. This display case needs filling.
Oh, well, six be enough?
Yes, and a couple of rich digestive. And some lemon creams.
Oh, you'll need some chocolate too, Mrs. Baggett. The last customer took four large nut milk slabs, the 2 shilling ones.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes. Oh, good afternoon. A cup of tea?
No, thank you. I just came in to... Well, perhaps I'd better have a cup of tea.
Pour a cup of tea for Lady Beryl.
Yes, Mrs. Baggett. I wonder, the gentleman I had tea with last Thursday, has he been in here this afternoon?
Oh, your friend. No, he's not been in today. Here's your tea.
Oh.
That'll be ninepence.
Yes, thank you. Are you sure he wasn't here? I mean, you have so many customers.
Have you seen the gentleman, Beryl?
Oh, no, Mrs. Baggett. He's not been here since last week. Oh, here he is now.
Lord.
Oh, Alec. Oh, will you have a cup of tea?
No. No, thanks. I haven't time. But I'll sit with you for a few minutes while you have yours. Here, I'll carry it to the table. Yes. Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so terribly sorry.
Oh, it's all right. I just wondered when you didn't come. You did say 12:30 outside the Regal Palace.
There was an operation at the hospital, an emergency. I had to stand by as it was one of my special patients. I'd no way of letting you know.
Oh, please, don't worry, Alex.
I did worry. I thought of you standing there in the street, waiting, wondering. You understand, don't you?
Of course. It doesn't matter a bit.
I was terribly disappointed. I had a surprise for you, Laura.
Oh, what sort of surprise?
I was going to take you out into the country for the afternoon. Stephen went to London by train today. He said I could borrow his car.
Oh, that would have been wonderful.
I was going to take you to a little pub I know for lunch, and afterwards we could have gone on the river. Oh, I had it all planned.
An afternoon on the river, away from the... Never mind, Alec. The operation was much more important. It's your work.
But you do understand.
Yes, yes. Don't think any more of it. Oh, dear. There's your train. You mustn't miss it.
No, I mustn't miss it. I'm so relieved I had a chance to explain. I thought I should never see you again.
How absurd of you. Quick, you'll have to hurry.
Yes, yes, I must run. Next Thursday?
Yes, next Thursday.
Dare you?
Now, well, I couldn't resist it.
Coming in here, taking liberties.
Well, I didn't think after what you said last Monday you'd object to a little kiss.
Never you mind about last Monday. I'm on duty now. And a nice thing if Mr. Saunders has happened to be looking through the window.
If Mr. Saunders is in the habit of looking through windows, it's time he saw something worth looking at.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Now, it's just ice, Spivis. Don't be mad at me, Myrtle. It's all your fault anyway.
I don't know what you're referring to, I'm sure.
Well, I was thinking of tonight.
If you don't learn to behave yourself, there won't be a tonight. Or any other night either.
Oh, come on, just give us a kiss.
Oh, do no such thing.
Just a quick one across the counter.
Oh, Albert,
oh, come on, there's a long...
Oh, let go of me.
Come on. Just one. Come here.
Oh,
come here.
Look at me, Banbury's all over the floor. Biru, come and help Mr. Godfrey pick up them cakes.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Two teas, please.
Cake or pastry?
No, thank you. Just the tea.
There you are. 1 and 6, please.
Thank you. You're not angry, Laura.
It doesn't matter.
But it's true what I said in the park. We're in love.
Please. And we must be sensible.
It's too late to be sensible.
But we must. We must... never see one another again.
Cup of coffee, please, and a beef sandwich.
You can't be.
Yeah, Am'll do.
You can't part like this.
I think it would be better if we did.
Don't really mean that.
I'm trying to mean it. I'm trying with all my strength.
Oh, my dearest dear.
Don't, please don't.
Thank you. Is it
all right about
tonight, isn't it?
I can't
think. Come on,
I'm good as gold. Don't running away from the truth, darling. You know I've fallen in love with you.
Yes, I know.
And it's the same for you. You've fallen in love with me.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Why?
We know so little about one another. I've only known you for 4 weeks.
How often did you decide in those 4 weeks that you were never going to see me again?
Several times a day.
So did I.
Oh, Alec.
I love you. Oh. I love you. And you love me too. It's no use pretending that it hasn't happened, because it has.
Yes, but it's wrong. And that's why it must stop here and now. We're neither of us free to love each other. There is too much in the way.
But darling, we're lovers already, aren't we? If it happens or if it doesn't, we're lovers in our hearts.
Can't you see how wrong it is? How dreadfully wrong.
I can see what's true, whether it's wrong or right. I only know that I have to leave the keys of Stephen's car in his flat. And I want you to come up there with me.
Please, Laura. Please don't say no.
There is no face for the wicked. I'll be back. You're perfectly all right, of course.
But I don't know.
I tell you it will. There's no chance of Stephen getting back until late. Nobody need ever know.
It's so furtive to love like that. So cheap. Much better not to love at all.
It's too late not to love at all. Be brave. We're both in the same boat. Let's be generous to each other.
What is there brave in it? Sneaking away to someone else's house? Loving in secret with the horror of being found out hanging over us all the time? It would be far braver to say goodbye and never see each other again.
Could you be as brave as that? I know I couldn't.
Oh, couldn't you?
Listen, my dear. This is something that's never happened to either of us before. We've loved before and been happy before, and miserable and contented and reckless, but this is different. Something lovely and strange. Desperately difficult. We can't measure it along with the values of our ordinary lives.
Why should it be so important? Why should we let it be so important?
We can't help ourselves.
We can. We can, if only we're strong enough.
Why is it so strong to deny something that's urgent and real, something that all our instincts are straining after? Mightn't it be weak not strong at all to run away from such tremendous longing.
Is it so real to you? So tremendous?
Can't you see that it is?
Oh, it's so difficult. So strained. I'm lost.
Don't say that, darling.
Loving you is hard for me. It makes me a stranger in my own house. The familiar things, or ordinary things that I've known for years, like the dining room curtain and the wooden tub with a silver top that holds biscuits, look odd to me, as though they belong to someone else. When I've just left you, when I go home, I'm more lonely than I've ever been before. I passed the house the other day without noticing, had to run back. And when I went in, it seemed to draw away from me. My whole life seems to be drawing away from me, and I don't know what to do.
Oh, darling.
I love them just the same. Fred, I mean, and the children. But it's as though it wasn't me at all. As though I were looking on at someone else. Do you know what I mean? Is it the same with you? Or is it easier for men?
I don't know.
Oh, please, my dear, don't look unhappy. I'm not grumbling. Really, I'm not.
I don't suppose being in love has ever been easier for anybody.
We've only got a few more minutes. I didn't mean to be depressing.
It isn't any easier for me, darling. Honestly, it isn't.
I know. I know. I only wanted reassuring.
I hold you in my arms all the way back in the train. I'm angry with every moment that I'm not alone. To love you uninterrupted. Whenever my surgery door opens and a patient comes in, my heart jumps in case it might be you. One of them I'm grateful to. He's got neuritis and I give him sun ray treatment. He lies quite quietly baking. And I can be with you in the shadows, behind the lamp.
Oh, how silly we are. How unbearably silly.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Thursday.
It's all right, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yes, of course it is.
Don't pass the house again. Don't let it snub you. Go boldly in and stare the dining room curtains out of countenance.
All right. Don't beg your poor neuritis man too long. You might blister him.
Here, I'll buy a bird cage.
Good afternoon, lady.
Good afternoon.
Couple of splashies, please.
Very sorry, as out of hours.
Come on, lady, you got a kind face.
That's neither here nor there.
Come on, be a spool.
Nobody'll know.
I'm very sorry, I'm sure, but my license does not permit me to serve alcohol out of hours.
An heart of stone, that's what you got, lady. An heart of stone.
You wouldn't want me to get into trouble, would you?
Give us a chance, lady, that's all.
Beryl, ask Mr. Godby to come here for a moment, will you?
Yes, Mrs. Beckett.
Who's he when he's at home?
You'll soon see. Coming in here and cheeking me.
What about them drinks, lady?
Come on, Mother, be a pal.
I'll give you Mother, you saucy upstart.
Who are you calling a saucy upstart?
Now, what's going on here?
Mr. Godby, these gentlemen are annoying me.
We haven't done anything.
All we did was ask for a couple of drinks.
They insulted me, Mr. Godby.
We never did nothing of the sort. Just having a little joke, that's all.
Hop it, both of you.
We've got a right to stay here as long as we like.
You heard what I said, hop it. I checked your passes at the gate. Your train's due in a minute. Number two platform. Now, hop it.
Look here.
Ah, come on, Johnny. Don't argue with a poor little fella.
Hop it.
Toodaloo, Mother. And be careful with them drinks.
Thank you, Albert.
What a nerve, talking to you like that.
Be quiet, Beryl. Pour me out a dip of three star. I'm feeling quite upset.
Ah, well, I've got to get back to the gate.
I'll be seeing you later, Albert.
Aye, okay.
I'll say one thing for Albert Godfrey. He may be on the small side, but he's a gentleman.
There's your train.
I'm going to miss it.
Do you go?
No.
I wish I could think clearly. I wish I could know, really know what to do.
Do you trust me?
Oh, yes, I trust you.
I don't mean conventionally. I mean really.
Yes.
Everything's against us. The circumstances of our lives, those have to go on, unaltered. We're nice people, you and I. And we've got to go on being nice. Let's enclose this love of ours with real strength. And let that strength be that no one is hurt by it, except ourselves.
Must we be hurt by it?
Yes. When the time comes.
Very well.
All the furtiveness and the secrecy and the hole-in-corner cheapness can be justified if only we're strong enough. Strong enough to keep it to ourselves. Clean and untouched by anybody else's knowledge or even suspicion. Something of our own. Forever to be remembered.
Very well.
We won't speak of it anymore. I'm going now. Back to Stephen's flat. I'll wait for you. If you don't come, I shall know only that you weren't quite ready. That you needed a little longer to find your own dear heart. Now this is the address.
Brandy, please.
We're just closing.
Yes, I see you are, but you're not quite closed yet, are you?
Three spouts.
Yes. That'll do.
That'll be 3 and 6.
Oh, yes, here. Thank you. Have you a piece of paper and an envelope?
I'm afraid you'll have to get that from the bookstore.
Well, the bookstore shuts. Please, it's very important. I should be so much obliged.
Oh, all right. Here you are.
Oh. Thank you. Thank you so much.
We close in a few minutes, you know.
Yes, I know. I'll go into the table. I won't be long.
Well, I'll be in the back room if you want me.
Oh, thank heaven. Oh, darling.
Please go away. Please don't say anything.
I can't let you go like this.
You must. It'll be better, really, it will.
You're being dreadfully cruel.
I feel so degraded.
It was just a beastly accident that Stephen came back early. He doesn't know who you are. He never even saw you.
I listened to your voices in the sitting room. I crept out and down the stairs, feeling like a...
Oh, don't, dearest, don't talk like that, please.
I suppose he laughed, didn't he? After he got over being annoyed. I suppose you spoke of me together as men of the world.
We didn't speak of you. You spoke of a nameless creature who'd no reality at all.
Why didn't you tell him the truth? Why didn't you say who I was? We were lovers. Shameful, secret lovers. Using his flat like a bad house because we had nowhere else to go. And were afraid of being found out. Why didn't you tell him we were cheap and low and without courage? Why did...
Stop it, Laura. Pull yourself together.
But it's true, don't you see? It's true.
Nothing of the sort. I know you feel horrible, and I'm deeply, desperately sorry. I feel horrible, too, but it doesn't matter, really. This unfortunate, damnable accident, it was just bad luck. It couldn't affect us, really. You and me. We know the truth. We know we really love each other. That's all that matters.
It isn't all that matters. Other things matter, too. Self-respect matters, and decency. I can't go on any longer.
Could you really say goodbye and not see me anymore?
Yes. If you'd help me.
love you always until the end of my life. All the shame that the world might force on us couldn't touch the real truth of it. I can't look at you now because I know something. I know that this is the beginning of the end. Not the end of loving you. The end of our being together. But not quite yet, darling, please. Not quite yet.
Very well. Not quite yet.
I know what you feel about this evening, I mean, about the beastliness of it. I know about the strain of our different lives, our lives apart from each other. The feeling of guilt, of doing wrong, is a little too strong, isn't it? Too persistent, perhaps. Too great a price to pay for the few hours of happiness we get out of it. I know all this because it's the same for me, too.
Oh, yes. Yes, I realize that.
Let's be careful. Let's prepare ourselves. A sudden break now, however brave and admirable, would be too cruel. We can't do such violence to our hearts and minds.
Very well.
I'm going away.
See.
But not quite yet.
Please, not quite yet.
I'm afraid it's closing time.
Oh, is it?
I'd like to lock up. Mrs. Baggett left me in charge.
This lady is catching the 10:10. She's not been very well, and it's very cold on the platform.
The waiting room's open.
Look here. I'd be very much obliged if you'd let us stay here for a few minutes.
I'm sorry, it's against the rules.
This is for you. Please, come back to lock up when the train comes in.
I'll have to switch off the lights. Someone might see him on and think we're still open.
Just for a few minutes, please.
Well, you won't touch anything, will you?
No, not a thing.
Oh, all right. You can still see a bit from the platform light shining through the window.
Yes, thank you very much.
Just a few minutes.
Let's have a cigarette, shall we?
Oh, I have some.
No, here.
Yeah. Thanks.
Now, I want you to promise me something.
What is it?
Promise me that however unhappy you are and however much you think things over, that you'll meet me next Thursday as usual.
Not at the flat.
No. Be at the Picture House Cafe at the same time. I'll hire a car and we'll drive out into the country.
All right, I promise.
We've got to talk. I've got to explain.
About going away?
Yes.
Where are you going? Where can you go? You can't give up your practice.
I've had a job offered me. I wasn't going to tell you. I wasn't going to take it. But I must. I know now. It's the only way out.
Where?
A long way away. Johannesburg.
Oh, no.
My brother's out there. They're opening a new hospital. They want me in it. It's a fine opportunity, really. I'll take Madeline and the boys. It's been torturing me for 3 weeks. The necessity of making a decision one way or the other. I haven't told anybody, not even Madeline. I couldn't bear the idea of leaving you. But now I see it's got to happen soon anyway. It's almost happening already.
When will you go?
In about 2 months' time.
It's quite near, isn't it?
Do you want me to stay? Do you want me to turn down the offer?
Don't be foolish.
I'll do whatever you say.
That's unkind of you, my darling.
Laura. Oh, Laura, don't. Please. Please, Laura, don't.
Oh, you're right. Leave me alone for a minute.
I love you. I love you.
I know.
We knew we'd get hurt.
Oh, I'm being very, very stupid.
Here, take my handkerchief.
Thank you. That's my train.
You're not angry with me, are you?
No, I'm not angry. I don't think I'm anything, really. I feel just tired.
Forgive me.
Forgive you for what?
For everything, for
for having met you in the first place, for taking the piece of grit out of your eye, for loving you, for bringing you so much misery.
I'll forgive you. If you'll forgive me.
I'm sorry.
Yes, it's all right. Thanks. We're just going. I'll see you to your train, Laura.
No, you stay here.
All right.
Good night. Good night, my darling.
Good night, darling.
I must lock up now.
The last train for Shirley hasn't gone yet, has it?
I couldn't say, I'm sure.
I'll wait in the waiting room. Thank you very much. Good night.
Good night.
Through. One tea, please, and a bath spoon, and make it snappy.
What's the matter with you?
Beryl, up it.
Don't you go ordering Beryl about. You haven't any right to.
You heard me, Beryl. Up it.
Well, I never.
Go into the back room for a minute, Beryl.
All right, Mrs. Baggett, I'm going.
Now then, Albert, here's your tea.
How do you feel?
That talk's so soft. How should I feel?
Well, I only wondered, like, you know.
Look out. Somebody's coming in.
No, it's only Romeo and Juliet.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Same as usual?
Yes, please. Two teas.
Quite three out, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, quite. There you are. 1 and 6 months. Thanks. I'll take the tea.
Now, look here, Myrtle.
We can't talk now. Come home with me this evening, and we'll have a little supper.
And you'll listen to what I want to say.
Yes, yes, but you must go now. Get back to your cake.
Aye, all right. I'll see you tonight, then.
Are you all right, darling?
Yes, I'm all right.
I wish I could think of something to say.
It doesn't matter. I'm not saying anything, I mean.
I'll miss my train and wait to see you into yours.
No. No, please don't. I'll come over to your platform with you. I'd rather.
Very well.
You think we shall ever see one another again?
I don't know. Not for years, anyway.
The children will all be grown up. I wonder if they'll ever meet and know each other.
Couldn't I write to you? Just once in a while.
No, no, please not. We promised we wouldn't.
Please know this. Please know that you'll be with me for ages and ages yet. Far away into the future. Time will wear down the agony of not seeing you. Bit by bit, the pain will go. But the loving you, the memory of you, won't ever go. Please know that.
I know it.
It's easier for me than for you. I do realize that. Really, I do. I at least will have different shapes to look at and new work to do. You have to go among familiar things. My heart aches for you so.
I'll be all right.
I love you with all my heart and soul.
I want to die. If only I could die.
If you died, you'd forget me. I want to be remembered.
Yes, I know. I do, too.
Goodbye, my dearest love.
Goodbye, my dearest love.
We've still got a few minutes.
Yes, a few minutes.
Oh, what a lovely surprise.
Oh, Dolly.
Dear, I've been shopping until I'm dropping. That sounds like a song, doesn't it? My feet are nearly falling off and my throat's parched. I thought of having tea and spindles, but I was terrified of losing the train. I'm always missing trains and being late for meals, and Bob gets disagreeable for days on end. Oh, dear. Do you mind if I sit at your table?
Oh, this is Dr. Harvey, Mrs. Messiter.
How do you do?
How do you do? Oh, would you be a perfect dear and get me a cup of tea? I don't think I could drag my poor old bones as far as the counter.
Yes, of course.
Well, I must get some chocolate for Tony, too, but I can do that later.
All right.
My dear, what a nice-looking man.
Who on earth is he? Really, you're quite a dark horse. I shall telephone Fred in the morning and make mischief. This is a bit of luck. Do you know, I haven't seen you for ages, and I've been meaning to pop in, but Tony's had measles, you know, and I had all that awful fuss about Phyllis. Oh, but of course you don't know. She left me. Suddenly up and went, my dear, without even an hour's warning, let alone a month's notice.
Oh, how dreadful.
Mind you, I never cared for her very much, but still Tony did. Tony adored her, and... Oh, but never mind. I'll tell you all about it in the train.
Here's your tea.
Oh, thank you so much. They've certainly put enough milk in it. But still, it's wet, and that's all one can really ask for in a refreshment room. Oh, dear. No sugar.
It's in the spoon.
Oh, of course. Oh, what a fool I am. Laura, you're looking frightfully well. I do wish I'd known you were coming in today. We could have come together and lunched and had a good gossip. I loathe shopping by myself anyway.
Oh, there's your train.
Yes, I know.
Oh, aren't you coming with us?
No, I go in the opposite direction. My practice is in Shirley.
How interesting. What sort of doctor are you? I mean, are you a specialist or anything, or just a sort of general family doctor?
I'm a general practitioner at the moment.
Dr. Harvey is going out to Africa next week.
Oh, but my dear, how thrilling. Are you going to operate on the Zulus or something? I always associate Africa with Zulus, but I may be quite wrong.
I must go.
Yes, you must.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mrs.
Nesseter.
Goodbye.
He'll have to run. He's got to get right over to the other platform. How did you meet him?
I got something in my eye one day, and he took it out.
Oh, my dear. How very romantic. I'm always getting things in my eye, and nobody the least bit attractive has ever paid the faintest attention. Which reminds me, you know about Harry and Lucy Jenner, don't you?
No. What about them?
My dear, they're getting a divorce. At least I believe they're getting a conjugal separation or whatever it is to begin with, and then a divorce later on. There. His train's gone. Ours shouldn't be long now. Well, perhaps this is it. Excuse me. Can you tell me if that is the Ketchworth train?
No, that's the express.
The boat train.
Oh, yes, that doesn't stop, does it? Express trains are Tony's passion in life. Oh, dear, I mustn't forget his chocolate. I want some chocolate, please.
Milk or plain?
Plain, I think, or... Oh, no, perhaps milk would be nicer. I know. Give me one plain and one nut milk.
They're two shillings.
Thank you. Laura, where's my friend? Where's she?
Here I go.
Oh, there you are, Laura. I couldn't think where you disappeared to.
I just wanted to see the express go through.
What on earth's the matter? Did you go too near the edge of the platform?
Yes, I think I did.
Do you feel ill?
I feel a little sick.
Have you any brandy?
I'm afraid it's out of hours.
But surely if someone's feeling
ill... No, I'm all right, really. Oh, that's our train.
You look terrible. Come on, sip of brandy will buck you up. Please.
Very well. That's 3 and 6.
Oh, thank you. Here's... No. This is on me, Laura. Now, come on, drink it up.
Oh, thanks, Dolly.
I thought I had another parcel. Now, where... Oh, yes. Oh, yes, that says on the chair. Come on, dear. I'd be glad to get home and have a proper cup of tea. I don't care much for the stuff they serve here. Do come on.
No. No, not often. And I shan't be coming again. Ever.
In tonight's presentation of Brief Encounter by Noble Coward, the parts of Laura Jessen and Alec Harvey were played by Valerie Miller and Michael Atkinson. As Myrtle, you heard Joan Gibson, and as Albert Godby, John Simpson. Dolly Messiter was played by Lorraine Leftwich, Beryl by Judy Gibson, and the two soldiers were Derek Taylor and Reg Richards. Brief Encounter was produced for Lux Radio Theatre by Anne Freed and directed by Henry Diffenthal. Next week, Lux Radio Theatre presents The Chopping Block by Vincent Tilsley. The Chopping Block is the simple story of simple people faced with the complications of understanding the complexities of their married partners. What happens when every move and every thought apparently becomes predictable to the other? Boredom sets in, and the little molehills of marriage take on the proportions of mountains. Then suddenly, events outside the home shatter the stagnation and give each partner a new awareness of the other's finer feelings. Listen next week to the universal problem dramatized in Vincent Tilsley's story, The Chopping Block, adapted and produced for Lux Radio Theatre by Tom Meehan. And now until next Monday night at 8:30, this is your Lux Radio Theatre host, Peter Tobin, bidding you all good night.